Hello everyone, welcome back to Global Humanitarian Discussions. This is Megan. We are really excited. We have all the way from California, Jennifer Lentfer of HowMatters.org. Jennifer, how are you doing this morning?
Fine, thanks.
Totally cool. And Jennifer and I are going to be talking a little bit more about her blog titled HowMatters.org. And in a blog, Jennifer talks about reviving and magnifying compassion and empathy with international development and foreign aid. Really cool and exciting stuff. Jennifer, can you elaborate a little bit more on the idea and the concept behind HowMatters.org?
Sure. Well, I started HowMatters.org because I really just had a calling, I think, to all of the people who are getting involved in this type of work. And, you know, how we are called to, you know, our own responsibility to serve a larger whole is really a unique experience for people. Whether you are a professional who has done this work for 20 years, working in the field for the large international non-governmental organizations, or whether you're a first-time volunteer who got involved through your church or whatever. But to me, that individual learning process of how we develop our role and our calling as helpers is actually one of the most important things to our own effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wanted to create HowMatters.org as a place where people can connect and learn more about how to sort of take that compassion, that empathy, mm-hmm. and bump it up. How do we really struggle with the fact that helping is actually quite hard?
Right.
And that there's not a lot of simple solutions out there about how to help the poor in the developing world.
Right. And if there were simple solutions, we wouldn't have a lot of challenges that we're currently dealing with.
Exactly.
You've done quite a bit of international development work all over the world, you know, over the last 10 years. And in your blog, you do talk about your experiences in Zimbabwe. And that's a really interesting region right now. And I think, you know, I've been living in South Africa 2 years ago and just meeting with several refugees from Zimbabwe. What was that experience like for you? I know I don't know how recently you visited Zimbabwe, but you've done quite a bit of work in Zimbabwe.
Yes. Well, I first went to Zimbabwe actually at the age of 19, and I was volunteering at an orphanage at the time,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't advocate for anyone, actually, I think, which is another story. But I really think that through the course of my work, and I lived there again in 2002 to 2004,
mm-hmm.
I was last there in January 2008, and have a lot of close colleagues and friends, obviously, in connection to that country.
Mm-hmm.
What Zimbabwe demonstrated to me on such a deep level was the resilience and the ability of people to organize and create a difference on the ground, regardless of the situation, regardless of whether we are there to help or not. And I think Zimbabwe's biggest gift to me personally was just sort of this sense that if we put real resources behind local initiatives, where people are really overcoming obstacles on their own terms, we can make even more of a difference.
Right.
And there's just so many examples out there of well-intentioned aid projects or sort of assistance projects that they're actually exactly wrong in terms of what the community's priorities are.
Right.
And I think that that's the biggest lesson I probably learned in Zimbabwe was to listen.
Right, and I know you and I spoke a little bit about this, you know, before I was doing this presentation recently to a group, and one question which had been presented to me was, well, you know, Megan, it's great that you're highlighting all these really cool people doing this phenomenal work across the world. But do you not think it's hypocritical that we flying in, we bring in our Western ideas and concepts, and we want to fix everything in the world with it? And I thought about this question quite a bit, and I may have been a little bit defensive in my response. But I mean, what are your thoughts on that? About, you know, that train of thought, about that kind of mindset, or, you know, the idea that we're flying in to these developing countries, we're trying to fix everything, but we're imposing our ideas. What do you think about that?
I think it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I really do, and I think that's part of what I would like How Matters to address, which is how do we ensure that we're not doing that in our efforts to help? As I mentioned, you know, helping is actually quite hard, and there's been a lot of talk recently on in the blogosphere and the aid workers in blogosphere about volunteerism and what they call poverty tourism, and there's all kinds of discussions out there. I think the bottom line is that this is only going to continue to happen, that there's more and more people that, because of our interconnected world being more and more accessible, more and more people are called to do something. And, you know, one of the things that I would really advocate for any of your listeners to do is to really, whatever you're involved in, whether it's just starting up or long established, is to really critically ask yourself, who is driving this initiative? Who, at the end of the day, makes the decisions about how resources are spent? Because actually that that key question, who decides how resources are spent, will tell you a lot in terms of the ownership of that project that you're working on. Local ownership is so important, and your participant who asked that question of you was actually really insightful in that regard, because it's actually not easy when we go in. There's a saying that I always think of, which is we don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. And so we come in with our biases and our sort of insulation of privilege and race and all of those things. And one of the hardest things to do is to test our own assumptions about that. How do we kind of get to the deeper issues? How do we feel all of that emotion, feel all of that calling, and then ask deeper questions? Be curious. Okay, so what's happening here that people are this poor? What's happening here? What makes children so vulnerable? And linking up sort of the bigger issues to what you're trying to do locally is one of the biggest challenges of this work.
Right. And I think also, you know, we have the resources to be able to assist so many communities in a way that a lot of us don't even realize that. And I think that was part of my response to that question. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, it is critical to empower and listen to, I mean, those are the communities, the leaders in those communities, they live there, they speak the language, they know what needs to be done, they just are looking for the resources, the tools to help them get there.
Right, exactly.
And that's really how we can get involved with that. You touched on a really great point, the way it is listening, the key is listening. They know their communities, and we can assist in providing some of the resources.
Yeah. I would love to share a story, because I actually want to sort of claim my own learning process and how much of a journey it's been, because you have to commit yourself to that learning process. And one of the things that I've sort of talked about in my blog is that I have made my own mistakes.
Right.
And I have done harm sometimes, more harm than good. And that's sort of, unfortunately, what happened, because I was sort of going in blindly. Eventually, I got, you know, a graduate degree that supposedly taught me how to do this and all, and all that. But it's actually sort of our human emotion that is going to make us more effective. So when I was working at this orphanage, I was 21 years old when I went back to the orphanage. And luckily, we did have the foresight to sit down with the ladies, with the administrator, and all the people who worked there, and asked sort of, what do you need? What the sort of response we received were toilets. We need to put in toilets, and we need a garden. But in my ignorance, and in my emotion, I thought, my God, no! What these kids need are emotional and social stimulation. There was, to me, that those were sort of the big glaring issues when I walked into the orphanage. So while I was there, two of my friends sort of took on the garden project and spent a lot of time in town, sort of on logistics, doing kind of the hard things about getting the thing plowed and the first inputs, the first seeds, the first fertilizer. And while I helped us out, I thought, no, you know, my thing I really need to do is play with these kids. because that's what they really need. And while I would never say that that wasn't important,
right.
The lesson I learned long term is that once that garden was established and once that garden was fully taken over by the community surrounding the orphanage, the orphanage became food self-sufficient.
Right.
And in Zimbabwe during the last few years, that has been vital to keeping those kids fed.
Mm-hmm.
So what was sort of a long-term, not as fun, not as immediately rewarding for me, was actually more important to the sort of response as a whole.
That's a good story, and it's very valid, too.
And I think, you know, we all get drawn in different ways. But I think one of the key questions we have to ask ourselves is, what is most needed for long-term change?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second question for me is, who are the local leaders who are already doing great work?
Yeah.
Who need those resources.
Right.
Let's honor their effort first before we try to come in with our ideas, before we try to come in with our resources.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the caring? Where is the action already happening?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is. And sometimes, especially when we are in the mindset of we have so much, they have so little,
mm-hmm.
we tend to miss those pieces.
That's true.
We are just focusing on what people don't have. But in fact, you know, another big lesson I've learned over the years is that there's already so much assets within any community, no matter how poor. And they might not be monetary assets,
mm-hmm.
but they're key assets nonetheless. So how are we as outsiders building on those assets rather than taking them over or disregarding them or sort of even pushing them to the side?
Something to definitely think about. Those are some awesome points. Now, I know you've done volunteer work abroad as well. For those people listening to the show right now, what kind of advice would you give to global volunteers looking at volunteering internationally when evaluating a volunteer opportunity, the kind of project that they want to work
on? Right. I think a couple things. First of all is to see, is that volunteer opportunity going to give you the opportunity to support local leaders? Who are going to be your mentors in this?
Mm-hmm.
Who are going to be the people sort of who you can look up to and who you can really learn from? As much as we want to give in those situations, whether we're studying abroad or volunteering abroad, we actually need to be conscious of the fact that I think we are building ourselves.
Mm.
And so programs where you can sort of get that local mentor who are just committed activists and people at the ground who are really making a difference will instruct us for the rest of our lives. Whether we stay involved in this work or we work and volunteer at home or whatever it is. And then secondly, I would look for a program where you are going to get also a chance to reflect individually, but also as a group, because I do think sort of that shared experience where we can come back and test our own assumptions and sort of stand outside of ourselves is really going to be an important part of processing the experience. And so I would look for those two things. And throughout the process, I guess what I would say to people is focus on building relationships. Don't focus on what what we're doing is secondary to the relationships we build.
That's true. That's a great way to end the show. Everyone, definitely take a look at howmatters.org. It's a great blog, some really great insightful information. I'm learning quite a bit about it. And, of course, Jennifer has some extensive experience working in international development around the world. Jennifer, thank you so much for being on our show. We'll definitely stay in contact. And definitely call me. Shoot me an email, Facebook, Twitter, however. Find me when you're out in Texas again. I'll definitely let you know when I'm out in California.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much, Megan, and good luck with everything you're doing.
You too. Thanks, Jen. Bye-bye.